this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Back to work for episode number 22.
Hey guys, this is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back to Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
Helping youth workers to keep going.
It is releasing today on July 3rd.
Which means tomorrow is our nation's birthday.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Yeah, 4th of July. Fireworks, all kinds of good stuff.
Did you guys ever shoot off any fireworks at your youth group?
We actually...
light anything on fire?
Well, I'd rather not answer the second question for legal reasons. But I do remember one year we did our trip to Peru. We did it over Christmas break. So we were in Peru on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And that's a big holiday
that's
for them.
That's what you do there.
And so, yeah, we went to the market and we bought all kinds of real sketchy fireworks.
Uh-oh.
And then at midnight, I mean, fireworks were going off everywhere. And we set fireworks off and I worried the whole time about injury and death and dismemberment and all those clauses you sign.
Yeah. I had kids try to buy fireworks on a trip one time.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah. That didn't go so well.
That didn't go very well.
We put a stop to that before disaster struck. But
yeah.
We would suggest not lighting your church on fire tomorrow. That would be a good idea.
Good plan.
So today we're actually going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about student leadership.
About allowing students to lead in our ministry.
This is a big deal.
It's a big topic.
Every youth pastor.
Absolutely.
Wrestling with how this works and, you know, what's the best method? What's our strategy for this?
And there's lots of different schools of thought on it.
Quite a few.
You and I, being in it as long as we have, still haven't even figured out which of these methods sometimes are better. Sometimes you just have to roll with it.
I've changed direction so many times. So what's the first leadership experience you were ever given, Matthew?
Yeah, I still don't know why, but I remember when I was a sophomore in high school. I mean, I had only been a believer for 2 years. I became a Christian right before my freshman year. My sophomore year, the pastor of the church I went to a real small church, probably 125 people on a Sunday morning. And he said, hey, you know, we had a Sunday night service, because that's what you do in the Swedish Covenant Church, evidently. And he said, I want you to teach one Sunday night. I was like, you want me to do what?
Big service.
Yeah, big service. I mean, our Sunday night service probably averaged 45 or 50 people.
Okay.
Average age,
okay,
probably 60. But you know what? Anyway, I was like, okay. And I mean, he sat down with me, helped me kind of think it through, map it out, get a passage. Uh-huh. I had beautiful, constructed message. I had detailed notes, and we practiced it. I was like, this is going to be a 20 to 22 minute Sunday night message with a little discussion afterwards,
because
it's a small group. It was great. I believe I delivered said message in 8.5 minutes. Not sure if I breathed even once. I was so nervous. It was gut-wrenching. I can think about it now, and I can think of the knots that my stomach was in. But you know what? I think about it now, and I think, what on earth did he see?
Yeah.
And what an opportunity. And who knew 40 years later?
You're still doing 8 minutes.
No, I actually was a little lengthy this last Sunday. I had big church this last Sunday, and I had far too many notes than I had time, and I had to go a little quick and had to trim a little fat along the way. So what about you? What about leadership opportunities for you?
I don't think I really had many leadership opportunities in high school.
You said you were like the vice president of the band.
Yeah, there was a lot of responsibility with that.
Huge, right?
Hey, everybody, get in line. We're getting ready to march. Yeah, I can't think of anything particularly in high school. I did get to speak in church, like senior graduation Sunday or whatever.
Okay.
But it was a 5-minute thing, and it was a small church, really small youth group.
No 8.5-minute thing.
True. I think my first real leadership was probably college, doing as sports editor of the newspaper.
Oh.
So I was responsible to, you know, plan out what the stories were going to be and who was going to cover what and put everything together. And there was some significant responsibility with that.
Yeah. You know? My freshman year at the Moody Bible Institute, I ran for class president as a joke. I'm not even kidding. Like I was so annoyed by the whole thing that I decided to throw my hat in the ring and ran as a joke. So my campaign was, I was just being funny. My speech was just a joke,
you
and
are
I made
such
posters.
An idiot.
I won.
No
in
way.
A landslide.
No way.
In a landslide. I won. I didn't even want the position. It was terrible. I don't even know what we did, but
what did you accept it?
I did. Well, at that point in time,
then
I didn't know what to do.
You got kicked out a year later. Sort of.
I was encouraged not to return. There's different ways to phrase that,
you were
Steve.
Impeached.
Something like that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
so leadership silly. Can be a funny thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess the school needed a comedian more than they needed a president, because I was just trying to get laughs, and I actually won. It was terrible. I felt so bad for the people who, like, really wanted it.
Right.
Yeah, I asked one of them, the person who like really, really wanted it, asked him to be my vice president.
Would you be my shadow president?
And then basically let that person just run the whole show because
I didn't care.
It was crazy.
That is terrible.
But anyway, student leadership.
Student leadership.
So it's a big deal for everybody. But why is it a big deal? Like, why do we seek to have student leaders? Why does it matter?
Yeah, there's so many reasons for this. The biggest one that comes to mind for me off the top of my head is just that we get students to buy into the youth ministry by letting them lead it. If it's all about us and we're doing everything and it's all about adults, it's ministry for students. It's not ministry by students. So, yeah, this is a way to get them to really love and invest in their own ministry.
Yeah, much easier for a student to disconnect from something that they don't have a significant investment in.
Yeah.
So if they just show up and we're doing everything, if they don't feel like showing up, they don't show up. But if we can get them to buy in a little bit more and get some investment in there and have them have something that they need to do in order for it to happen, it's a little harder to disconnect.
The reason that we do this, one of our core essentials that we talk about all the time in our ministry is students are celebrated. So we make an effort to celebrate students. We want them to discover their gifts and recognize those gifts and express those gifts and see them played out for the glory of God. So student leadership is an avenue where kids can bring whatever gifts they have, could be, you know, an upfront gift, could be behind the scenes gift, and have a chance to be able to use that and express that.
And I think that in itself is another big reason we do student leadership, is an opportunity for them to discover what their gifts are.
Absolutely.
Because I think there are some students who, you know what their gifts are, or their gifts have sort of showed up already. But there are a lot of students who they don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We got to put them in an environment where we can figure out what it is. And I think student leadership is a great opportunity for them.
Have you had students come along who they thought their gift was a certain thing, and then you realize maybe that's not their thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you get both ends of that spectrum. I think you get the students who you think, oh, I think you'll be great at this. And then you put them in that position. You're like, wow, you're not great at this.
Uh-huh.
And then that's awkward. But I also think you get flyers. You get people where they say, hey, I want to do this. And you think, oh, really? Okay. And then you're like, oh, man, you're killing this.
Yeah.
I think you get both, and I think it's worth it.
It is.
You need those students who think they're good at something. They need someone to tell them they're not before they're on American Idol.
We've had a few American Idol moments.
Right.
Yes. Students thought they could do a certain musical thing, and they couldn't.
They really couldn't.
Oh, man, it doesn't go down well. But you're right. It is important to offer that out there and just see what happens. And you got to wrestle with the awkward ones too.
Yeah. And I mean, very practically, another reason to do student leadership is just less things that you have to do.
Oh my gosh.
On a given Sunday night or Wednesday night, whenever you're running your program, because you get a student to do that.
We wrestled with a few iterations of our student leadership team over the years. And at a point where it was kind of flat and wasn't a lot happening, we moved into our new building. And so I was running like all this stuff all the time.
Setting the welcome desk up, running the tech. You're just doing everything.
I was doing everything other than leading the actual worship. And it was just killing me, because it was like I was putting on a church service by myself. Every single week. And it was unsustainable. It was just madness.
And so you get a few student leaders in there. And you have a few less things on your plate, which then makes you sharper and better as the leader of the ministry.
You can focus on training them instead of doing everything yourself. Definitely was an improvement.
Yeah.
And probably saved me. I couldn't have done that for too much longer.
Yeah. And I think another benefit of student leadership is just training up the next generation of leaders.
True.
Whether they do that vocationally. I mean, I love to see when student leaders come through our student leadership type programs mm-hmm. in youth groups mm-hmm. and end up going into youth ministry because they've found that, wait, no, this is something I love. This is something I'm passionate about. But even when they don't do that, when they go off and study some other thing and get a job or start a family, but then they have a heart for student ministry. So yeah. they volunteer or they're just champions of the student ministry. I think it's a win either way to raise that up.
It's really just a theological truth that we're all part of the kingdom of God, whether you're 12 years old, 18 years old, or 80 years old. Yeah. We all have a place to play in the body of Christ. So student ministry should be a place where we are encouraging that, recognizing that, and see those gifts flourish. So it's God calls us to do this,
absolutely,
as youth pastors, to raise up student leaders.
So lots of reasons to do it. Now, to do it, we've got to find student leaders.
Right.
So how do you find student leaders? Lots of different schools of thought here.
Yeah. Well, what do you do?
That's a great question. Again, we've gone through several different iterations of this over the years, and I still haven't landed on what the way is. Because you've got the all call. Hey, we're going to start a student leadership team and come up with some cheesy name and give it a name and say, if you're interested, come. So low bar, like, we'll take anybody, come on out, let's just see what can happen. And we've done that before, and we've had success with that before. Uh-huh. Then there's the high bar, right? We're going to set the bar up here. We're going to look for people who we actually think display mm-hmm. some leadership, whether it be influence or some really visible gifts that we can then tap and say, hey, we'd like to personally invite you to come do this thing in student leadership. And I think, and again, we've done that before too and had mm-hmm. success in it. Mm-hmm. We've had unsuccess in both of those versions as well. So, you know, what about you guys?
We actually are in the middle of that.
Okay.
Landed in the middle of that. So we just did this last night. We do an open house each spring called Student Leadership Open House. We call our student leadership team the student leadership team.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
It's catchy, isn't it?
You should coin that or what do you call it?
Market that somewhere.
Market that somehow.
Yeah, we've had a couple different names over the years, but we've landed with student leadership team because it's very clear what it is. And we have an open house where we invite anybody who's interested to come be a part of our student leadership team. We actually set it up where we, in a high school ministry, we want you to be a rising sophomore to participate.
Mm, okay.
I will make a rare exception in that, but what I really want is for students to actually join the ministry and kind of get a sense of what's happening before they're asked to lead it.
Sure.
Which I think is a fair thing.
I think it's a fair thing, sure.
So by and large, we ask for rising sophomores, but if you're interested in being part of what we do, come out, check it out. We have like a little job fair set up with all the different roles, and we talk to them and see what they're interested in doing.
Yeah. Do you tap anybody on the shoulder who doesn't necessarily maybe show up for that open house?
We push some people who we identify as, hey, you really should do this. This is, you know, you're really friendly. You should join our hospitality team. Or you're musical. Yes, you should absolutely.
We really need you on the
band. You're a drummer? You're a drummer?
We
welcome
need a
aboard.
Drummer, please.
So we do that too. And there are students who don't see themselves as leaders and need to be tapped on the shoulder. And then you have some who do see themselves as leaders and maybe need to be redirected into a different area of service.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe somewhere in between that, like, you know, definitely inviting anybody, but also pushing people who sort of have displayed the skills you know that they need.
Now what we do, this is a little bit, I don't know, maybe deceitful. We have a student leadership team application. Everybody has to complete it. I honestly don't think I would turn anybody down. Unless it was like they were just antagonistic or destructive or
it would take a special circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be really bad.
Yeah.
Because I want kids to participate, and I think it's a way to grow spiritually no matter what level you're on currently. So, yeah, there's an application they have to complete. But even if it doesn't look great, I'll probably try to find a spot for them anyway to contribute in some way.
I think we would be the same way here. I think you got to give everybody the opportunity,
mm-hmm.
Even if you sort of have some doubts of whether they'll be able to do it, because you might be surprised. And I'd love to be surprised by some kid who maybe I thought didn't have what it took to be on the student leadership team and then just proved me wrong. I'd love to be proved wrong. So you got to give them a chance.
And sometimes by doing that, you're actually, they'll disqualify themselves. They'll look at the application and they'll think to themselves, I don't think I can meet these expectations. That's happened to us before, too.
I don't want to do that, yeah. When you're thinking about students to be on your student leadership team, again, even though it's open, what are you looking for? Like, what are the tangible things you want to see in a student to know that this is a good candidate for being on the student leadership team?
The number one thing I'm looking for is a student who's invested in the youth ministry, who's faithful to come to it, who's there a lot. I think if they're there, it shows a level of interest. They may be there for the wrong reasons, I don't know, but at least it's an opportunity to take their interest and take it to a new level. Yeah. So
you have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not there, I mean, we've had students apply for student leadership who are really, really sporadic in attendance.
Same.
And, you know, you, they want to be in the band because they think they can sing, but they're only there every 2 months. And we're probably not going to take that student.
Yeah, yeah, we've had the same thing. In fact, very specifically with the music team.
Right.
You know, people who are on the worship team but would only come on the nights they were scheduled to play or sing. And then we had to have that conversation that said, yeah, no, this is not how this works. So we're going to need a greater participation from you outside of the time when you sing or play whatever instrument, and then give them an opportunity to live into that.
Right.
Most of the time they don't.
Right.
And then have the second conversation that says, your time on this team has come to a close. And we'd love to welcome you back on that once we see some consistency over here, which typically doesn't happen because that kind of person is that kind of person typically.
Another characteristic we look for is teachability. You know, it's really hard to work with people who don't listen or don't think they have anything to learn from us. So if I've had a few students who are just kind of arrogant and thought they had it all figured out, thought they knew everything, those aren't the kind of students you want on the student leadership team.
Yeah, you want someone who can take.
Even if they're talented.
Sure, because you want someone who can take some direction and take some encouragement. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the number one quality we're looking for in any kind of leader in the church is humility. So that's something that we're definitely going to tap on the shoulder.
But in reality, let's be honest, aren't we also looking for some of the influencers?
We are.
We're looking for students who visibly have influence within the group because we need their help in moving us in the direction we want to go.
The personalities,
the big personalities.
Don't you love it when you have a two or three in each class that are just like the magnets for everybody else?
Everybody's looking to them for where are we going next, what are we doing. If they're playing the game, everybody's playing the game. If they're not playing the game, nobody's playing the game.
Right.
And we need a couple of those students on a student leadership team so that we can have that second level of influence within the student
I call those kids the connector personalities.
Sure.
And that's a gift. There aren't a lot of those that really make everybody feel welcome. You know, there are some that kind of gravitate towards their cluster of friends. But there are some who, they make everybody who walks in the room feel like a million bucks. Those students are gold. Gold is student leaders.
Hard to find.
Yeah, rare.
They don't come around very often. But when you find them, we got to find a way to put them to work.
Absolutely.
Put them to work.
And they're usually willing because that's the kind of person they are.
Because of their personality, for sure. Okay.
Do you guys do an application for your student leadership team?
Again, a couple of different iterations of this. We've had one where we had an application type form. We've had one version where it was just if you show up consistently, you're on the team. I think if I were to go back and do it again and reinvent it, we'd go more to the application route. So it's just a little more formal. We want it to feel like a bigger commitment because it is.
Yeah, right. You want the minimum bar to be you have to do this thing.
You gotta fill this application out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And one iteration of this, it was an application and a one-on-one interview.
Oh, good.
Where they had to come, you schedule a time, which sometimes was the disqualifier. Like, you need to find a time where you can come to my office and sit down and talk to me. We'll walk through your application. Why'd you say this? What's your desires? You know, that kind of thing. And it disqualified a couple of people who couldn't. And if you can't find time to come sit down with me for 20 minutes, how are you going to find the time to invest what we need? So it was a good version. I'd highly consider that again.
We'll get into the structure here in a second, but we have a few different responsibilities in our student leadership team, and there are two of those responsibilities that require more of the student. One is an audition for a musician. So you have to be able to do that. You got to make time for the audition.
Got to do it.
And then for our mentors for the middle school kids, we call them the WOW crew. They come every Wednesday and lead small groups of middle school kids. You have to sit down with the middle school director. And the level of commitment and maturity there is higher. So we're looking for a little bit, you know, farther along student for that role.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely into, you have to recruit based on what you need to have done.
Yes.
And the positions you can release them into ministry to do. Yeah. So.
So how do you get your student leaders ready to serve? What do you do?
Yeah, so.
What's the prep?
The prep, the training. This has been a difficult thing for us because you've got this idea where we need to spend some time with them. We need to have meetings. We gotta study leadership. We have to, you know, all this, the training side of it. But you're already asking them to do more.
Right.
Right? And then you're saying, okay, we have to have a meeting. And then you have to come early to the other meeting to do these things. Mm-hmm. And so it was a difficult trying to find out what that, how often should we meet?
Yeah.
I think our best version of our student leadership team was we met twice a month.
Okay.
On a weeknight. Our program is a weekend program.
So separate from
the regular meeting. We met twice a month. We tried once a month, but then when somebody would miss for a concert or a sporting event or whatever, you know, keeps them away, you'd go 2 months without connecting with the team.
Yeah.
So it was just too hard. So we went twice a month, and our requirement was you had to be at least one of the two. Obviously, we'd like you at both meetings, but you had to make one of the two meetings. And that, I think, was probably our best version. And we would kind of divide that meeting up into, you know, studying of scripture, studying some leadership quality, you know, thing, lots of different resources out there to train the student leadership, and then sort of planning what are we going to do to make the group better.
Yeah.
You know, which got that buy-in and that investment. And a lot of good ideas came out of our we've talked about this on this before, our ability, we collect cell phones every Sunday night so that our students can have sort of a distraction-free evening. You know, once we get through the hang time in the game, then when we go into worship teaching in small groups, everyone puts their phone in a cell phone bucket and it just sits in the back of the room until the night's over. That came out of our student leadership team.
Okay.
The students decided on our weeknight meeting, hey, we should all push our phones to the middle so that we can be focused for this hour and a half.
Okay.
And then eventually someone said, well, if we think this is a good idea here, why don't we do this? So that was completely student initiated, never my idea. It was the student's idea, and it's still existing today. What about you guys? What's your structure look like? Like, how do you...
Well, we struggle the same way with the meeting schedule and the calendar because we have so many other activities and students are busy, so it's hard to get them here. We do a student leadership retreat to kick off the year.
Okay.
This year, we're actually going to take them away. We're going to invest a little bit more money in that and take them somewhere. So I think that'll be good. We haven't done that before. And then we try to do a monthly meeting on Sunday morning. We don't have Sunday school anymore, so there's some open time there, and we're going to ask the students to come one time a month on Sunday morning. Do the same kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, scripture, leadership qualities, maybe some activities, things like that. So it's not easy, though, because they're so busy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, well, you know, one of the best things we ever did, just a little shout out here to the Student Leadership Conference, SLC.
Oh, yeah.
They're down to one now. They do it in Indiana this year, or it's taking place in Indiana this year. But they had one in Columbia, Maryland for several years.
I remember you took your students over for that.
And it was super cheap and excellent. Doug Fields and Josh Griffin and their team would put this on. And we would take, the first year we took six kids, handpicked, rising sophomores. And then I took them back the next year on the condition that they brought six more with them. So we brought six more leaders. And it was very condensed, compressed, inexpensive student leadership training. It was great. Now it's 12 hours away. So we can't do it.
It might not happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think some of the principles that we learned how they run that conference, we're able to replicate ourselves now.
Sure.
So
you're going
to
do that this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great idea. All right. So we have them. We have student leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We've invested some time in structure into training them and encouraging them and equipping them. Now we got to release them.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful and scary.
It is.
And so what is your method for releasing students to lead and not have it just be busy work jobs?
Well, our structure is this. We have student leadership team. That's everybody. And then we break it into sub-teams. We break it into sub-teams. We currently have 5 sub-teams. This is how we break it down. You could do it completely differently. This is just how it works for us. We have the worship band, the tech crew. We have our WOW crew, which is our middle school mentors. We have Love Machine, which is our hospitality team.
What a great name. It's a great name. Please tell me you have a logo and have trademarked that.
We do not.
Oh, please.
I'm sorry.
I'm picturing like a VW bus. Like
actually,
from the
70s. I did. We did have that one time. But come and gone, different iterations. So, yeah. Then in the fifth team this year we're starting new is our social media team.
Oh.
I want to get students to run the whole social media for
what a great idea.
I know, because we're struggling with that. So we're hoping to get some students to do that this coming fall. So each team will have an adult mentor or a leader to kind of guide the team and train them in the specifics of their responsibilities. But we're looking to the students to generate the ideas for them.
Sure.
So like the hospitality team, those students will get together and they'll say, hey, here's what we're going to do to welcome everybody this week. And here's an activity to get people engaged. And here's how we're going to follow up when kids leave the room at the end of the night, stuff like that. So, we want a lot of student leadership inside the student leadership teams.
Great.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
With some adult guidance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years with releasing them is we have to be able to release them to do significant things, mm-hmm. even when there's a risk.
Absolutely.
Right? Because again, if we go back to why we want to do this, we want them to have greater investment. We want them to discover their gifts. We want to raise up the next generation of leaders. When my pastor asked me to teach a message as a sophomore in high school,
yes.
There's no way he thought to myself, man, we are going to edify the body tonight. I mean, we're really going to... He didn't think that. He thought, no, we're going to take a Sunday night and take a risk that it might not be phenomenal because he's a kid and he's never done this before, but we're going to invest in the future. And again, I look back at that and think, thank you for that investment because it put me on a path, right? It was the beginning of a... journey that led me to where I am right now, which is in the middle of a 4-week series in front of 1,200 people.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've learned over the, and it never gets easier to say, okay, I am going to let this student do this significant thing, whatever it is, knowing it could be way better if I did it or if I got somebody. And I think that's just really important. I mean, right now our high school director he's doing small group takeovers. Mm-hmm. So for the whole summer, each individual small group is just in charge of running the entire Sunday night.
Yeah, there's a lot
high
of
school
risk
group,
in that.
You know, welcoming people, running the game, announcements, teaching, picking the songs, and working with the worship team so that they're ready to go, writing the questions for small groups so that they can interact on the message. And I think it's a great thing, but it's also a risky thing. I mean, he just had his 8th grade move up this last week.
Mm-hmm.
So welcoming like 32 new 8th graders into the high school group. And yet he almost had no role in the night because it was a small group takeover night. So students were teaching, students were writing the question, students were running the game. And again, it was great. I was here for part of it on Sunday night and it was fun. But it would have been better. There's no way for me to say it other than if he would have run it, the night would have been more, just more better.
Right.
Which is not a word, but I used it.
Betterer.
Something like that. So he took a risk. And I think that risk is going to, that benefit is going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah.
And no 8th graders went running from the room because it was horrible, because it wasn't horrible.
Right.
I just knew, and he probably knew, it could be better. But it was great.
Yeah.
But there was a risk involved in letting a small group run a pretty significant night in the course of his year when he's welcoming a whole new class of people in.
So it isn't always about the excellence produced. It's about the experience of going through it and letting them lead it.
Absolutely.
We just did something similar. We let our high school, middle school mentor team, WOW Crew, lead an entire month of middle school ministry. So they planned the message series. They wrote the messages. They carried out the messages. They wrote the family group questions, led the games. We already have a student band leading worship. And so pretty much they ran it. And it was fantastic. They did so much better, honestly, than I would have done that month. So we're definitely doing it again. But to see them rise up to that task, oh, that's just so fulfilling. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And I think when we think about releasing them, I think what you just said is a key element for me, is we've got to allow, we've got to give them an opportunity to rise to the level we're not sure they can get. And again, for me, that just takes some faith and some risk.
And like, if they don't, the experience is probably still worth it.
Still going to be absolutely worth it. Yeah. So releasing them.
Yep. Give them a shot.
Give them a shot.
Failure is...
is an option.
It is an option. It's a learning thing. It's
absolutely.
A learning experience. So, well, we've seen the results of from our student leadership teams over time is tremendous fruit.
Oh, it's unbelievable being in the game as long as we've been in it to see that benefit.
So here's some stories that maybe will warm your heart as you listen to this. So currently on my staff at our church, I have a girls director who's a former student who was on every leadership team during her time in the youth ministry. We make fun of her for it, but she was phenomenal, and now she's a phenomenal team member,
staff member.
At our church. My college intern, former student, twice an intern, student leader, now killing it in the college ministry and also in the youth ministry. And then I just hired my middle school director from you.
Who came through our student leadership.
We talked to him last week on the podcast, and he came through your student leadership team, and now he's in full-time ministry.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just amazing to see these young men and women who discovered their gifts while in high school serving on student leadership teams and are now pursuing or already in full-time ministry. I've got my own son was a worship leader in our high school ministry. And it just led him in a path of leadership and opportunities to play and sing that he wouldn't have had anywhere else. Now he's studying songwriting. He could be a worship leader if he wants to. I mean, it may change the whole course of his life because he was part of the student leadership team.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I look at some of our volunteers that we have right now in our ministry. We have a high school volunteer who I remember that volunteer sitting in my living room as a sixth grader investigating it, kind of it was a student leadership open house. They wanted to be on the worship team and they were there as a sixth grader and then led, and then now is one of our key high school volunteers and helping to lead our Peru trip this year, doing phenomenal things. A couple of our just killer middle school volunteers right now are students that 3 and 4 years ago, we're in our high school leadership team, you know, and just exploring their gifts and exploring what it meant, and then caught a love and a passion for it. And they were gifted in it and they have the energy, and now they're pouring it right back into those middle school students. And I just think when I watch that, I think all of what we talked about today, all the risks, all the work that's involved in getting this going, just so worth it. Just absolutely so worth it. Fun to watch it happen.
It's not going to be easy. You are going to have those messy parts where students are going to fail. They're going to let you down. You're going to have students in the wrong roles.
Yep.
You're going to have the wrong students on the team.
Yep.
But through all of that, if you pursue student leadership, you will see these fruits come to pass in dramatic ways.
Yep.
It will transform everything about your student ministry.
Yep. So that night when the student said they were going to lead the message and then didn't prepare and then got scared and then texted you 10 minutes before and said, I'm not coming tonight. And you had to just pull something out of your back pocket.
Personal experience.
May or may not have happened. I'm not going to comment on that, but that's going to be worth it when you start seeing the fruit of the student who did show up and who did do it and then caught a vision for all that God could do through them in student ministry down the road.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's awesome.
So do the work, invest the time. Student leadership, release them, make it happen, because it'll pay huge dividends for the kingdom of God in the future.
That wraps up today's episode. We hope it's helpful thinking about student leadership. We have one more episode we're going to deliver before we take a little bit of break for 6 weeks, give ourselves a little rest.
A little downtime. So we'll be back next week with our final episode, I guess. Would that be in season one? Do we break this down into seasons now?
I don't know if there's seasons. I think we're just kind of perpetual.
All right. So we're just, So this will be our last episode for a little while.
Yeah.
For 6 weeks. And then we'll come back at the end of August and it's going to be great. We're looking forward to next week. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe jump out on our Facebook page or our Instagram. And if you have any ideas about student leadership team, throw them out there so that, you know, everybody can benefit from everybody's knowledge.
Yep. If you want some Sherpa stickers, let us know. We'll send you some. Just got to send us your address and a request and they'll be in the mail in no time.
All right. Other than that, so until then, we'll be back next week. So for right now,
Sherpa's out.
Peace.